Hi, I'm Lewis Foster, a journalist up here at Manx Radio. In this episode of Newscast, I'm talking with Manx Radio's political correspondent, Phil Gorn, about a dizzying turnaround of ministers over the past 6 months.
Treasury Minister David Ashford has resigned.
Treasury Minister, the former Enterprise Minister, Alex Allenson, MHK.
Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas is taking up the post after Tim Crookall was moved to the Department for Enterprise.
Tim Crookall stepped down from his role in Council of Ministers.
Rob Callister has been sacked as Health Minister.
A former minister himself, Phil grants a unique perspective on what it takes to have six changes around the Comin table since May, the effect that has on the department, and what it means about our Chief Minister's judgment. We start with the latest departure, Rob Callister as Health Minister, who was sacked just yesterday, having been in the role for a matter of weeks.
Well, it's a very difficult position, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Rob Callister there speaking to you at the government conference, I believe, just shy of 2 months ago. Ready, open for the challenge. What does it take for a minister to lose their job in that amount of time?
Well, it is quite extraordinary. And certainly from the information that Rob Callister has supplied to the radio station and various media outlets, it does appear that he continued to be up for the challenge and felt that he had reported back to the Chief Minister and the Chief Secretary where some of the problems were. Basically, the department is in Rob Callister's view is woefully inadequately resourced in terms of the support for the minister and minister's office, and that's, you know, I think that's reasonably clear that the, you know, he's not just making that up. There's some clear evidence to back him up on that. So,
and I'm interested as well because you had as Health Minister Rob Callister on Perspective just around 2 weeks ago, I believe, wasn't it? Was that Sunday?
Yeah.
How did he seem at that time to be coping with that challenge?
I think he was a little bit nervous because he was new to the role, but he was absolutely up for doing the interview, and he seemed to be loving the job. I mean, he explained during the interview that he had problems in terms of senior staff, that there weren't enough of senior staff in the right places. There were significant problems, obviously, with the ongoing Ranson case, which is was causing various morale issues around the department. But certainly, that interview, Rob seemed up for the job and keen to carry on.
And those are reasons he's outlined in this open letter, as he's put it, to the Chief Minister, shared around the media this morning. But also we've got these comments by the three DHSC members, and we know those as MLC Tanya August Hansen, Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher, and Russian MHK Dr. Michelle Haywood. It's all a bit unclear about what's going on there. We did reach out to them. They wouldn't speak with us on that matter just yet. Perhaps they will further down the line, or perhaps we'll find out. But anything alluded to then 2 weeks ago about falling outs with members?
Certainly not in the broadcast interview. I think it is fair to say that, you know, when we do broadcast interviews, ministers, political members say things off record, which they perhaps wouldn't want to be quoted on. But I must say, I didn't get a strong feeling from the minister, as it was then, that there were any particular problems with the political members. And what is extraordinary is that only one of those three political members appears to have actually said anything directly to the minister. I mean, that is quite, well, it is, it's shocking to me. It says something an awful lot about the relationship that there must have been between the minister and the three members if they didn't feel that they could talk to their minister. I've known Rob Callister for quite some time. Obviously, the last 5 years he's been in the Keys, 6 years now. But also I worked with him very closely when I was DOI minister, when he was a commissioner in Onchan. And I've never found Rob to be a difficult person to get on with or difficult person to talk to. So it seems there's something very strange about all this.
And we'll talk about the changes over the past 6 months. We're talking six changes in Comin since May. as put before this interview, that's more than Howard Quayle had during his entire administration. Five in 5 years, it has to be said. Now, is that a lack of foresight about who you're selecting? Is it just the climate we're in right now?
Well, I think the one thing that goes in the Chief Minister's favour on all this is the sort of the laughable situation in UK politics at the moment, where you have resignations of two or three ministers a week. Doesn't seem to be an unusual thing. But yes, it must call into question the Chief Minister's judgment. You know, the appointment of David Ashford, it wasn't a well-kept secret that there were going to be problems in relation to that, you know, the issue of David's former role as Health Minister. You know, the Chief Minister must have known about that. In relation to the departure of Tim Crookle, I mean, nothing too public has been said about that, but we hear that there was some kind of bust-up in Council of Ministers, which led to Tim Crookle deciding to tender his resignation. And then on this one, it certainly appears from what we've heard so far that the Chief Minister decided to back political members over one of his ministers, which... again, it's really quite extraordinary.
And I suppose we get into the point of, are you supposed to have harmony in a cabinet like that? Or is there supposed to be clashes of heads? Was there always disputes and falling outs back in your day?
It is fair to say that a harmonious council minister, I mean, I was in council of ministers for 11 years, and harmonious was never a word that I would use. Unusual to use that word. There were always disputes. Of course, there were. The fights in council ministers were much larger than the ones that would appear in Tynwald on many occasions, I think. So it's not unusual. What is unusual is that it's not managed within... in council ministers. You know, it is quite extraordinary. I don't know. I'm sure the Chief Minister will come on and explain his position on all of this at some point, but I think he has some explaining to do, certainly.
When a minister leaves a department, how much of a setback is that for the officers? Because we've had, well, for the department as a whole, I should say, because we've had this the announcement this morning, the press release from the Chief Minister. He made no secrets that it was the DHSE, the biggest and toughest department, as it was made out. How much of a setback will this be for them, just 2 months after losing their previous minister?
Well, I think the advantage, of course, is that Laurie Hooper is going back in. But if, I mean, you would think that the other really important aspect of government life is growing the economy, finding ways in which we can move from where we are, which is in a fairly sort of poor position, to the sort of very significant ambition that's described in the economic strategy, which is to be approved this month in Tynwald. You know, it is, as has often been said about the economic development role, that actually it runs itself, that department, and you don't need a minister, in which case why is there a minister? And if that's not the case and you do need a minister, how can the minister take on one of the most difficult challenges, or the most difficult challenge, which is health, and continue to try and develop the economy?
And I'm not aware, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember a time of a minister, I know we had the Chief Minister overseeing the DfE earlier this year, but is it common for ministers to hold two departments at the same time?
As far as I can recall, I think it's very unusual indeed. I mean, I think the first time that it happened to any significant extent was Howard Quayle taking on role as Chief Minister and Economic Development at the end of the last term. I don't really recall this happening too often beyond that.
I mean, in terms of Manx politics, how has it changed over the past 5 years, in your view, the attitude towards who keeps their job and who doesn't at the moment?
Well, I think, I mean, it, what we can say is Tynwald is a much more harmonious place than perhaps it was. Certainly with, you know, I'm sure Peter Caron wouldn't mind me mentioning his name and particularly singling him out. Peter was very definitely the thorn in the side of most of sort of conventional Manx politics. And Peter regularly kept Tynwald and council ministers on their toes. Since Peter has gone, I'm told that Tynwald is a much more harmonious place. It's a more productive place. People don't feel as threatened, and generally it works better. But you know, the other challenge that you can reasonably put is, you know, one person's harmony is another person's. Actually, you're not doing your job properly, and what you're not holding government to account. So, yeah.
And as you mentioned, you've spoken to Mr. Callister. You're quite close, as you admitted, with Rob. What's the future for him politically, do you think?
Well, I do hope that Rob gets through this, and at some point a new ministerial position is given to him. As I say, I mean, we can't know because we haven't been told yet, despite asking several people. We don't really know all the ins and outs of the matter. If, as is alleged or suggested by Rob Collister, three political members went behind his back, one political member did openly say they wanted to resign, two went behind his back and were talking about him, not to him, then, and the chief minister then chose to back the political members over the person that he had thought was best to lead that department. That's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke with Rob a number of times, as in his capacity as chair of the MUA, as he was before Tim Johnston took over that role. And even listening back to your interview with him in September at the government conference, he was reeling off the figures then, talking about the challenge that Tim was taking on. He was quite heavily invested, do you think, in that role, and perhaps reluctant to leave it, let alone, as he put, join a role that he didn't feel was right for him or suitable for his core skill set.
Yes, but then, of course, he goes on to say that very quickly, having become Minister for Health, he realised that actually he was a round peg in a round hole. So, I mean, nobody wants to leave the role that they've got familiar with, because it takes quite a lot of work to become familiar with any of the sort of senior roles in government. But that's the nature of politics. And actually, one of the unusual things of the last 5 years was there wasn't a significant ministerial reshuffle halfway through the term of office. In every council of ministers that I can remember prior to that, usually halfway through there's a major reshuffle to allow people to move on, find new challenges, better understand, fresher sets of eyes to look at the same problem. And obviously Howard Quayle took a different view and said, and basically thought that the long view was a better one, and actually getting people familiar with the role and staying in post for 4 or 5 years was a better general approach. And who's to say which is the best? But on what we do know is the three departures from council of ministers so far have happened for reasons where I would suggest that the ministers didn't particularly want to go.
That was Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn speaking with me, Lewis Foster there. Gurumayu, thank you for listening.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.